This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Let's pray, and then we'll get into this morning's message. Lord, would you please change us? Change us even right now, that we wouldn't miss this opportunity as we prepare to leave here soon, to go into different ministries and different summer positions, some coming back, some moving on, but use this time to change us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone has a reputation. Okay, in the earthly realm, we might even have multiple reputations. You might have a certain reputation at home. You might have a certain reputation at your job. You might have a certain reputation around with your friends. You might have a certain reputation here. And they might be similar. They might be different. I don't know if that's good or that's bad. That's just in the earthly realm. It seems that we tend to sometimes have multiple reputations in our earthly realm. I don't know what your reputation here has been as a student. You know, I had a reputation here. I probably still have. Some of it positive, some of it negative. Some of you know, maybe from my book, some of my reputation as a prankster. Some of you don't know some of the more deeper things that only a few would know. Like when I had a trouble and a deep physical addiction to prescription glasses. And it was a hard time for me. You know, Rick understands about that, but many people didn't know about those type of things. But there's different places where you have reputations from your struggles. Sometimes you have reputations from your victories and your gifts, and those can be good. But in the spiritual realm, the issue of Christianity, you have one reputation. Under God, you have one. It says in Proverbs 15:3 that God sees everything, both good and evil. He's just watching you all the time. I'd like to know what your reputation is. What does Jesus, when he looks at you, think about where you are at this point? I mean, I like to be fair. I don't believe you put a seed in the ground and a big oak tree the next day. I believe, what I learned from Dr. Lehman, that God grows things. He grows us. We change. We learn. We grow. I don't expect a young Christian, if I use kind of a fruit tree, to have, you know, 50, 100, 200 apples on it. But I don't expect, you know, a more mature Christian to only have 3 or 4 apples. I try to make it fair about where your growth is. What's your reputation? How do people describe you? What are you known for? Hopefully you don't live to have this kind of reputation amongst people. I want to live a certain way so they think this of me. No, you live a certain way because you want a reputation under God's vision, which happens to overflow into the earthly realm. So when they look at you, they develop the reputation based on how you live for Him. What's your reputation? If you have your Bibles, do me a favor, open up to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, we're going to take some time and look at Solomon. We're going to look at his reputation. We're going to describe his reputation with 3 words that start with W. I'm going to ask you to say each of those words 3 times. Why? Not because I'm trying to be elementary, because I want you to learn this. If you say something 3 times, it usually goes into your short-term memory or your schema. If it goes in your short-term memory, it might go long-term memory. If it goes long-term memory, it might go in your heart, which would be great, because Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I won't sin so much against God." So it makes sense. But let's take a look. 1 Kings chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Remember the rules. Don't read the Bible to finish. Read the Bible to change. "When the queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's reputation, which brought honor to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. She arrived in Jerusalem with a large group of attendants, a great caravan of camels loaded with spices, large quantities of gold and precious jewels. When she met with Solomon, she talked about everything she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her." So the first thing that Solomon's known for, the first W, is wisdom. What's the first W? Wisdom. First W? Wisdom. First W? Wisdom. That's good, right? Wisdom is a good thing. The application of knowledge, kind of sometimes a special understanding or discernment in situations. I mean, you can have a lot of knowledge and still be foolish, right? I mean, raise your hand if you ever did something and your mom or dad said you knew better. Raise your hand. Right, just because you have knowledge doesn't mean that you're wise. You can know things and still be foolish. Right? I mean, that makes sense. I remember when my son Jaden, who's 9, when he was about 2, I remember we were at a wedding down at the beach, and the apartment where we were staying wasn't baby-proof, right? It wasn't protected, and the outlets were exposed and anything like that. So we were eating breakfast, and I saw him finish his breakfast. He climbed down, and he looked at his finger, and he looked over at the outlet, and he said some kind of tu-chupaka-tuta. And he walked over to put his finger in there, and I went over and I yelled, I said, Jaden, no! And then I hit him. I mean, I just went, no! Whoosh, whoosh, pusha! I didn't like hit him in the head, or I hit his finger. I just hit his finger, but I said, no, no. If you put your finger in there, that's gonna hurt. I did that when I was young, 32, and it hurt really bad. You don't put it in there. I don't think he even got near an outlet for like a year. He kind of walked away from them. But he started to at least understand something. I want him to know, and I want him to understand. How is that going for you? Some of the things that you're starting to know, going to school, going to class, living in the dorms, being mentored, talking with your friends, are you starting to see application? Are you starting to see victory in the struggles? Where you've learned things, is there application? Are you still doing foolish things even though you know? Now, it's interesting. He's known as the wisest man of all time. I love it. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Solomon loved the Lord. It says in chapter 3, verse 5, that God came to him in a dream and said, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. Now, that's interesting. Anything? I mean, that's like a one-time shot. I mean, he could ask for money. I mean, he could ask for the power. He could ask for some kind of crazy. I mean, maybe he was a car guy, you know, so he's like a chariot guy, right? I mean, what if he would have like the crazy chariot with like, you know, switches and stuff? And I mean, can you imagine like just randomly there'd be just a chariot with switches? He's like, whoa. What's up, Levi? Reuben, what's up, Doug? Okay, I'm sorry. So anyway, but I'm just saying he could have, but he didn't. He asked for wisdom. And then it says, God was so pleased in verse 10. I love that verse. Don't you love reading things like that? God was so pleased. He liked it. He enjoyed it. It moved his heart. He said, I'm going to make you the wisest man all time. It says in 1 Kings 4:29, God gave Solomon great wisdom and understanding and knowledge too vast to be measured. So the Queen of Sheba said, I'm going to come and test him with hard questions. That would be like modern day Yemen or Ethiopia. She travels pretty far. She hears about him, how his reputation is connected to God, which is interesting. When people think your name, do they think connection to God? That's interesting. In the first few sentences in a description of you, do they mention Jesus, something about him? Your name, God. I mean, what if that happened to you? What if there was something about you, some characteristic in your Christian walk that was so amazing that people in other countries heard about it, they wanted to come over here to find out. Maybe they're the most giving person ever, right? You just give everything away, and someone in Russia, they want to come over here and they talk to you and say, hey, why do you give all your food away? Why do you give your clothes away? Why do you give money away? Why do you give cars away? Why do you give all these things away? And they just wanted to be around you, and they heard it had something to do with God. That'd be an interesting situation, wouldn't it? That'd be pretty cool. She came to test. Now, that was fairly common in those times. It says in chapter 4, 34, that kings from every nation sent ambassadors to listen or test Solomon. Oftentimes, they would come with riddles, sometimes some tough, maybe spiritual-type questions to test wisdom. Here's a riddle for you. Two fathers and two sons went fishing. They caught 3 fish. At the end of the day, one of the men said, it's good that we caught 3 fish. Now each of us can have one. How's that possible? 2 fathers, 2 sons go fishing. They catch 3 fish. At the end of the day, one says, I'm glad that we each can have one now. How's that possible? Should I tell you? That's right, because there's a grandfather, and then the dad, and then the sons. Actually 3 people, but 2 fathers, 2 sons. It's a riddle. But then there's sometimes, oh, what? Oh, yeah, oh, that was a good one. But sometimes they came with more serious questions. And as some of you go into ministry, you're going to understand when some of these big ones come, and you might not have the wisdom to understand. I received a question last week. I was talking to a pastor, and it was a very serious one. And I don't know if you understand this, but someone had come to the pastor, and the pastor was telling me, he said, I had a couple. They've been struggling to get pregnant. They've been trying to have children for a very long time. They've come to me and asked me this question. If we do in vitro fertilization, we know that when the eggs get fertilized and the embryo comes, there'll be a certain number of embryos. We can use some they won't use, some will be discarded. Is it an abortion to even get involved in that when we know some will be discarded? And I said, that's above my pay grade. I'm going to have to talk to some people about that because that's a tough question. I mean, people came to him with tough questions, not just some of the riddles, but hard questions. And you know, sometimes we might have answers because we've learned things. Sometimes we might not. And you have to be humble enough to understand when you don't have an answer also. But it was neat that he answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for her. The first W was wisdom. The first W was wisdom. So let's keep going to the second W. Let's go down a little bit farther. 1 Kings 10, chapter 10, verse 14. Each year Solomon received 25 tons of gold. This did not include the additional revenue he received from merchants, traders, all the kings of Arabia, and all the governors of the land. So the second W is going to be wealth. Okay, the second W is wealth. Second W. Well, now this is very interesting. 25 tons of gold per year, plus additional revenue from merchants and traders. I mean, this is when the kingdom is the biggest and at its height of power. She's getting all kinds of money coming in that way. And kings of Arabia, which, if I understand right, is kind of mafia money. Kings of Arabia, they don't want to get beat up. I'll just give you a few dollars if you leave me alone. And that seems okay. I mean, he's got crazy money going on. The last time I looked up on the internet, and I was Googling the value of gold, I'm trying to work on some things, and it said that one ton of gold currently would be worth about $32 million. $32 million for one ton. He gets 25 tons per year. 25 times 32 is 800. $800 million a year, and that's only part of his salary. I thought, that's interesting. So I looked up and I typed in highest paid CEO in the world. I found that there was one CEO that they have listed as the highest paid that makes $150 million a year. $150 million a year. I looked up highest paid athlete of all time for 1 year's salary. And the highest grossing athlete for 1 year's salary came out to $110 million for 1 year. He gets $800 million, and it's only a part of what his annual salary. That is crazy money. Money. I mean, that's some serious stuff going on right there. Now, you got to be careful with that, don't you? Is money even of itself wrong or evil? No, but the Bible does say that the blank of money, the love of money, is the root of all sorts of evil and can even pull people away from the faith. Do me a favor. Everyone put your hands out like this, flat, like a platform. Okay, the Bible says that the Lord, right, he owns the earth and everything in the earth, whether it's righteous or wicked. He owns the earth itself, everything in it. He owns. So you're just holding things. You're an accountant. You're just holding. It's not yours. You hold it. Okay, put your hands down. So God comes over to you. Let's say that you're holding some certain clothes. And he goes, hey, thanks for holding those. I mean, they're mine, but thank you for holding those. There's someone over here that I would like them to hold it for us. I'm going to take those from you, if you don't mind. Since they're mine, I'm going to put them over in their hands for a little while. And you say, no, it's no problem. I'm just holding whatever you want me to hold. Hey, I need actually to get, I know you've been holding this food here, but there's someone over here that actually needs some food right now. So if you don't mind, I'm going to pull this food over here. I'm going to put it there. I appreciate that you have a Toyota Camry here, but actually that family, I'd like them to hold the Toyota right now for a little while. Now, the opposite of doing that would be to do this. Everyone put your hands like this and go like this. It's mine. When you put your hands, that's not good. We can get that selfishness in there. Flesh comes and we get selfish. No, it's mine. It's mine. Now, when you do that, I don't know how many things could happen. I think I've experienced or understand at least two things. One is God can just take it away. He's big. If you want to fight him, you will lose. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Isaiah chapter 40, Talked about how big God is. Okay, we talked about the basketball jersey earlier. Everyone put your hand up like you're going to palm a basketball. Everyone put your hand like you're palm a basketball. Make it as wide as you can. The span from your end of your pinky to your thumb, average human span is 9 inches. It says in Isaiah 40, his span is over the universe. Now watch this. Go like this. Go tight here with the palm. Now scoop it. Scoop it. Right there, it's called the hollow of your hand. It says in Isaiah 40, he can hold all the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand. I thought, now, I'm going to try something. I'm a little competitive. So I went over to the kitchen. True story. I pulled out a teaspoon. I said, I'm going to try a teaspoon of water in the hollow of my hand. It's a true story. So I'm competitive. Somebody, oh, yeah, you think you're whatever. Watch this. I'll hold a teaspoon. So I get ready. I'm getting, okay, tight, no gaps. Tight, no gaps. Here we go. Teaspoon of water. And it kind of flipped. I was like, oh, stupid. I mean, you understand? I mean, if you were at the ocean, you're playing volleyball, and you're playing frisbee, and all of a sudden this giant hand comes out of the sky, and picks up the ocean. You look at your friend, and you'd be like, that's a big hand right there. I mean, he's just trying to show in an illustration, he's big. If he wants to take something away from you when you're being selfish, he can do that. He can take it away. I think another thing that could happen is he might come and want to move something, and you say no, and you get selfish, and there can be a problem within the relationship. There still is a relationship, but there's a problem in the relationship, just like with a husband and wife when someone's being selfish, or with two good friends, or with a coworker, when someone acts selfish and something comes up. They're still friends, but there's a problem in the relationship. I think that can happen too. I don't mind rich people. I got no problem with rich people as long as they get their money away. I got no problem with them. I don't care. If you want to go out and make as much money as you can, I say go for it. As long as you go like this. As long as you go like this. Now, he did a lot of things. I mean, you got to understand what he did. He built the temple. I mean, this is an amazing deal. He builds a temple. I mean, it took him 7 years. He's building this thing for God. It's going to be really cool. It took him 7 years. It's 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, 90 feet long, 30 feet wide, 45 feet tall. He builds a special structure for worship, especially thing for God. And it is awesome, right? And this is a big, big deal. I mean, it took him 7 years to even make it. So that was cool. He was using his money for that, and that was good, right? But wealth, you know, sometimes can go the other way. We start to see a little slip a little bit in his reputation because right after he builds that temple and you read about in 1 Kings 6, you look in 1 Kings 7 and he started to build his house. And I looked and it said it took him 13 years to build his house. I said, that's interesting. It took him 7 years to build God's house. It took him 13 years to build his own. When he built God's house, it was 90 feet long. When he built his house, it was 150 feet long. When he built God's house, it was 30 feet wide. When he built his house, it was 75 feet wide. 7 years to build God, 13 to build his house. Why? He started to get excited about some of his own things, not to mention as he started to fall in the area of the third W, which was women. He was building houses and barracks for his harem. Let's go to the third W. The third W is women. What's the third W? Women. Third W? Third W. Not because it's an issue for you. If you're a lady, it was an issue for him. It's an issue of pride in politics, an issue of pride in lust. I mean, let's take a look. It's in 1 Kings chapter 11. Starting at verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, he married women from Moab, Ammon, Edom, Sidon, from among the Hittites. The Lord had clearly instructed his people not to intermarry with them because they would turn them and their hearts to worship other gods. Yet Solomon insists on loving them anyway. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and sure enough, they turned his heart away from the Lord. 700 wives, 300 concubines. I mean, what's a concubine? It's like a second wife, but that really doesn't matter if you have 700 first ones. I mean, it's 1,000 wives, right? I mean, some of this, obviously, political. He's making alliances with other countries. They're sending gifts. Sometimes they're sending women. He's already married to Pharaoh's daughter at the beginning with a connection with Egypt, but it's also because he has a lust problem. Guys, now, I don't know what you're thinking. If you're being fleshly right now, there might have been some sort of attraction to that. He's the man. He's got all these ladies. And if that is what you're thinking or your attitude, I rebuke that. Maybe you think, well, you know, I've got some issues with this type of thing, but obviously I'm not as bad as him. Are you sure? I mean, when Jesus threw out that curveball before, you've heard it said before, if you commit adultery with a lady, I'm just telling you, if you lust after the lady, commit adultery in your heart. Yeah, but that doesn't really matter because, you know, that's inside and no one sees it. No one knows about it. That's just privately here in my heart. Jesus knows about it. Why would you say it doesn't matter? When he said, I want you to love me with all your heart. Oh, it matters. So take caution. Find ways to stop beforehand. If some of you have issues and you've repented and you've got forgiveness and grace, that's great, but learn from it. Find wisdom when you started to fall in that area. What led up to that? Let's stop way back here before we can ever get to that spot. You've seen it in Scripture. You've seen it in ministry. You've seen it overseas on the mission field where this lust and sexual sin is killing and hurting the kingdom in multiple ways. So let's rise up with some purity in our marriages, in our everyday life, in our thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
Now be careful, because watch what happened. It's interesting, as a little side note. It said that the Lord clearly instructed him not to intermarry with these other nations, if I may. Let me take a little rabbit trail. Hey, little buddy, we're going to go on a little rabbit trail for a second. There are horrible, terrible, satanic, racist groups that use this verse and twist it, one of them being the KKK. That have this theory of, it's a sin for you to marry someone of a different skin color. God said in 1 Kings 11 that God said, don't intermarry with these nations. And they actually use this verse and say that's a sin and wrong for someone to marry someone of a different skin color. Let's just review. The Lord had clearly instructed his people not to intermarry with these nations because they would lead them to worship other gods. Does that sound like a racial thing or a spiritual thing? Let's review. Racial or spiritual? Of course it's spiritual. Of course it is. He doesn't want a believer with a non-believer. He doesn't want you to hook up with someone that can actually take you away from him, lead away from him. By the way, how terrible is it for those who lead people away from God, Jesus said. It's not a sin to marry someone of a different skin color. I had a young lady tell me one time at an event. She said, my dad said, I would rather you marry a white drug dealer with all sorts of issues than a Christian of a different skin color. That's one of the worst things I've ever heard. I've heard some terrible things. That ranks up there right there. If in your reputation you think you are better than someone because of your skin color, you're dead wrong. You're a racist, and that's a sin, and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Jesus made it very clear. One, that he loves people. Two, that when all those who have a relationship with him get to be with him later, the people from every tribe, tongue, nation, and language are going to get together, and together as a family, we're going to praise the Almighty together as a family. And if you believe the Bible to be true in creation, you have to ask another question. If Adam and Eve were the first two people, and I believe they were, and that all people come from Adam and Eve, you understand what that means, right? It's one of my favorite phrases that comes from some of my best friends who are missionaries. When one of my missionary friends say, yeah, I'm going to go to Asia because I really want to share the gospel with my brothers and sisters. And then I see someone over here doesn't really understand it, and they go, why did he say brothers and sisters if they're not saved yet? Because physically they are. See, in the blood, the molecules, cells, nucleus, you're all related. I'm related to you, you're related to me. See what I'm saying? If you think you're better than someone else, you're wrong. Now, does that mean if someone gets married of two different races, there couldn't be problems and issues in society? Of course there will be. But I'll tell you one thing. I've got two boys. I've got my little buddy, Dylan, who's three, and I got my firstborn buddy, Jaden. I really want them to marry a lady who's desperately in love with Jesus. I don't care what color they are. I don't care what their skin tone is. Solomon went from wisdom to wealth to women. That's interesting, isn't it? Especially since he's the wisest man all time. How does that happen? How do you become the wisest man all time? It says none ever before him, none ever to come will ever be as wise as him. How can he actually go from up here where he's got the kingdom of Israel at its peak and it's going great, all of a sudden he goes into the wells and it gets a little shady. He started to break the rules in Deuteronomy 17:17, right at the beginning when God said, here's the rules for the king. A king must not accumulate vast amounts of gold and silver and wealth for himself, and he must not take multiple wives. She ends up breaking both of them. Deuteronomy 17:17. What does that mean? It means that if he can fall, I can fall. If he can fall, you can fall. Sometimes when we operate on a base of pride, you set yourself up for a fall. But if in turn you operate and you build your walk, your relationship with Jesus, your ministry, your family, everything on a base of humility, then watch for success and growth. See, not only does Satan know our strengths and weaknesses, God knows our strengths and weaknesses. That's why he set up commands. I mean, I hear people all the time and they complain about different things. They hate the word standards. And, well, I come and I sign different standards and it's at every school. I talk to all the Christian colleges. I've been at Moody and Taylor and all these other schools. It's the same thing. Well, what's the standards? And maybe when I go out, I'll be off standards and we'll come back on. What's the big deal? I mean, some people get mad that they had to sign a little piece of paper that says standards on it. Well, I got another piece of paper for you, Jack, right here. And there's some standards here. Not going off standards. He said, if you love me, obey me. He doesn't want it to turn into some big checklist where there's some kind of legalistic thing going on. He's looking at you and he's saying, I know you, I love you, and I care for you, and that's why I've set out things for your success, because I know. I want you to succeed. I know where you're strong, I know where you're weak, and I've set up some plans for your growth. I've set up some commands, I've set up some standards. You know, I want you to be holy, I want you to be like me. And he wasn't being sarcastic, he wasn't saying, yeah, let me see if you can be like me, let me see if you can be holy. He really wants you to be holy. Why? Because he who lives in you can help train you, change you to become more like him. In Ephesians 5:1, he wants you to be Christ-like. Imitate Jesus. You can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we grow and change, again, being fair, seed in the ground, don't expect a huge oak tree the next day, but I do expect growth. I've learned this in 15 years of ministry. Holiness is not coming to the party without humility. Holiness is not coming to the party without humility. God opposes the proud. Gives grace to the humble. What's your reputation? I'll close with two questions. Is there anything you're known for right now that you wish you were not known for? Anything right now that you're known for that you wish you were not known for? Some areas that you see you want to grow in. Now, the other question, kind of on the positive side, is there anything that you're not known for that you would like to be known for? Do you have some goals in your personal growth? Hey, I'm not sure how I'm doing in this area. I don't know if I'm really known for this, but at some point in time, I would like to be known for this. Not just because people can look at me and they become a pride thing, but because I know that this would make Jesus smile, make him proud, give him glory. And as I follow him, people will see him as I live this out in my reputation. Is there anything that I'm not known for that I want to be? Like a goal. I love when people go to Galatians 5:22 and they look at that list They look at their fruit. And some of the guys I work with, I say, let's pick a couple. Let's just pick a couple. Let's ask Jesus if we can go to the spiritual grocery store. If he could help us get a couple of these. Wouldn't that be a great reputation? To be gentle, kind, caring, loving, forgiving. What a great reputation that would be. As you go home for this summer, whether you come back, whether you go into ministry, I hope that you'll pursue holiness. Hebrews 12:14, that will give you a reputation that gives him glory and allows others to see Christ in you. Let's pray. Lord, it's such a privilege to even have the scripture and that we can learn from people like us. Thank you that we can learn from Solomon some of the good things, but we can also learn some of the things where he made mistakes that could help us as we grow and change. I don't know where everyone is on their growth chart spiritually, but I pray as we finish out this year and as these students go home and to different jobs and different ministries, some may be coming back, some going on to ministries in the future, that they would pursue holiness. They would build a reputation that gives you glory. They'd understand that their lives have one reputation in the spiritual realm under your sight because you see everything, both good and evil. And as they pursue holiness and as they grow, then people, Christians and non-Christians alike, would see you in them as they live out the principles. They live out what they've learned in Scripture. As they learn what it means to love you and to love people. And when this happens, may you get the most glory you could ever get from each life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.